Okay. Thank you very much. It's of course my pleasure to give this talk, and I little apologize for the biological title. So when Thomas Hoffe contacted me and asked what I would like to present, I gave him choice of three topics. So one was granular, some film description of dense granular flows. Then the second topic was granular particles with complex interaction, and the third was this one, self-assembly of microtubules and molecular motors. And he told that his personal preference would be to hear this one. Okay.
Well, I hope he's watching on the web.
Yes. I would like to show you that indeed there is a very close connection between granular physics and self-assembly of microtubules. And another title for this talk would be flows of exotic grains. And this work is done in collaboration with Lev Simon from the University of California, San Diego, and it was recently published as Rapid Communication in PRP. Okay, here's a short outline of my talk. I start with some short biological introduction. I will introduce main players in this game. I'll describe briefly experiments and overview reason theories. Then I proceed with this celebrated Maxwell model, which will be modified for polar roads. And here you can see very close connection to granular physics. Then I proceed to describe patterns which appear in this system. There happens to be very remarkable one aspects and vortices. I'll make a very short conclusion and present you a new system which actually related to granular physics. Okay. Microtubules, probably everyone knows, I don't know, maybe not everyone, but microtubules are remarkable objects. They are very long and rigid polar hollow rods. They can be as long as 20 microns, and they have a diameter less than 40 nanometers. And despite their length, they are very, very steep. Their thermal persistent length exceeds their length by orders of magnitude that can be as large as few millimeters. And they have certain chirality, as you can see, they have left and right directions are not symmetric. The symmetry is broken due to the structure of these microtubules. Length of the microtubules may vary in time due to polymerization and depolymerization of tubulin dimers. And microtubules play a very important role in cell dynamics. And they're responsible for formation of the cytoskeleton of the cell, cell division and cell functioning. And another player in this game is molecular motor. And there are various types of them, and of course molecular motors, they perform motor functions. They move things around. And there are several types of molecular motors. There are linear motors which move along microtubules and responsible for formation of cytoskeleton and functioning of the cell. There are rotary motors which are the flagella of bacteria, and there are nucleic acid motors which are responsible for separation and winding of DNA. And in my talk, I will focus only on linear motors, these are proteins associated with microtubules. And they have one or two heads. Having two heads is not properly unusual in this world. And one of the heads can be attached to microtubules, and when attached, it can walk along. And this molecular motor, they gain energy from the hydrolysis of ATP, this adenosine triphosphate. And when they hydrolyze this molecule, one ion of phosphate is split off and they gain some chemical energy. And when they gain energy, they can self-propel along the microtubules and always in one direction, because microtubules is a chiral object. So the motors always move in certain directions, say from plus to minus. And they develop speed about 1 micron per second and make steps about 8 nanometers. And typical run length of this molecular motor before it detaches from microtubules can be as large as 1 micron.
So what makes the direction?
The chirality.
I mean, by the way, there was an article in Nature saying that the motors can step backward and forward.
Maybe some of them.
But what is the difference between forward and backward?
If I go back, you can see this microtubule is not symmetric. It has certain kind of chirality. And this is what makes it symmetry breaking between left and right. But this is only true for one type of the motor. There are various types of the motors and can move and can go opposite directions, say one motor goes from minus to plus, and other motor can go from plus to minus. Okay.
Do you get collisions?
Okay, sometimes, not. You can see, and in fact, this microtubule is a kind of two-way highway. So it's open for in both directions. And here you see kind of cartoon, like how this molecular motors carry kind of vesicles and grains inside neural filament. Okay, and this biological world is very popular to have, even not simulations, but animations. What you can see now is animation, how molecular motors move on the top of microtubules. It has nothing to do with reality, just illustration. Okay, that's probably the future of simulations. I'm not responsible for colors and whatever. So you can see that it oscillates and it absorbs one of these ATP molecules, splits of phosphate, and gets energy from this kind of chemical reaction. Okay, and this microtubules have a very important role in cell division. When cell about to divide, this microtubules form very interesting objects, which are called clusters. They are formed near some kind of organization centers, which are called centriole pairs. And before division of the cell, these centriole pairs migrate to the opposite side of the cell. And around the cell, kind of hedgehog structure appears, formed by microtubules. And all microtubules, they look in one direction. They are attached to the centriole pairs, and they form kind of a hedgehog structure. And this aster, they form a cytoskeleton of dividing cell. So this membrane of the cell is spanned from this kind of structure and prevents this membrane from collapse. I have a very interesting animation, which I also borrowed from one of the biological websites, how the cell divides. You can see this. You can see formation of asters here, and this microtubules grow and attach to chromosome and pull them to opposite sides of the cell, and then finally cell divides. So it's very interesting and very complicated biological process, and of course a good question what physicists can do about it. And a good question is not much. But nevertheless, there is a group of very clever enthusiastic physicists who performed a number of very interesting experiments with highly purified objects. And I mostly will refer to experiments by Stanislav Leibler. And most of these experiments, this very complicated cell machinery was switched off. And highly simplified and purified objects were extracted. For example, in this experiment, they extracted, from living cells, they extracted microtubules and fixed their lengths in order to prevent length oscillations by certain chemical salt. And they also separated microtubules and keep only microtubules of certain lengths, of 5 microns. And they mix this microtubule with this fixed concentration of molecular motors and place them in a microchamber where they were able to perform quasi-two-dimensional experiment. And results are very interesting. Also, I should add that other groups also perform experiments with microtubules, but most of this experiment, they focus on interaction between individual microtubule and molecular motor, something like that. And these experiments performed by Stanislav Leibler, they looked on collective interaction of microtubules. Now let me first show you interaction between individual microtubules and molecular motors. This experiment performed in the group of Weill and University of San Francisco. In this situation, molecular motors are attached to the glass plate, this one head, and other head can be attached to microtubules, and as a result, microtubules can be propelled by molecular motors on the top of glass plate. So you can see kind of gliding of microtubules. But its interaction is more or less individual, so there is no collective effect, as you can see. Rather similar experiment, but instead of attaching molecular motor to the glass, in this situation, microtubule is fixed, and you can see migration of drift of molecular motor on top of microtubule. So you can sort of see it propagates along the microtubule always in one direction. But in experiments of Leibler and his collaborators, microtubules and molecular motors are mixed they can interact and develop collective interaction. And to their surprise, or maybe not surprise, I don't know, they discovered very interesting pattern formation. Which this pattern formation is controlled by the concentration of microtubules and concentration of molecular motors. For low concentration of molecular motors, they mix this substance and nothing was observed. The substance was mixed. But above critical concentration of molecular motors, they start to see something very interesting. Namely, spontaneously from this homogeneous mixture, structures develop. And these structures look like pretty much like pustules, which you can see during the cell division. But with only the difference, the structure quasi-two-dimensional. So after some time, which say about 20-30 minutes, from this isotropic mixture of molecular motors and microtubules, they observe formation of well-developed structures, similar to clusters. And of course, a good question why these structures are formed and what is the biological meaning of these clusters. It happens to be a backup mechanism of self-division, what they discovered. It happens in cell division, these clusters are formed at some kind of organization centers, centrioles. But if you can kill these centrioles, for example, by the laser beam, cells divide anyway, and they seem to be use this mechanism for spontaneous formation of clusters.
Can I ask, these microtubules are essentially dead microtubules, they're not?
But everything is dead here, so yeah. Everything is dead. So it's life after death experiment. So.
No, but they're not microtubules in cells or losing stuff at the end.
No, they fix it. They also did experiments with, say, living microtubules, and they were against stuff, and it was not such a big difference.
Does this have anything to do with the formation of a liquid crystalline phase?
No, no, it's more complicated. It's something to do, but you need some analogy. But I will come to it. It's not exactly liquid crystalline phase, it's more complicated phase. And they also were able to reproduce certain features of this phenomena by performing molecular dynamic simulations with polar objects and certain conditions they saw formation of atoms due to interaction. I will discuss this a little bit later. Even more surprisingly, they observe certain phase transitions depending on the concentration of molecular motors. For example, for kinesin type of molecular motor, which is very common, they observe that for low density of molecular motors, instead of asters, they see rotating vortices. So in this situation, the microtubules are tilted at some angle with respect to the organization center. And these things slowly rotate. And gradually increasing concentration of molecular motors, they saw transition to asters. So at some point, this tilt angle just becomes zero and you see perfect cluster, like here.
But these all seem to have analogs and singularities of pneumatic liquid crystals.
I would say not liquid, not pneumatic liquid crystal, but some type of liquid crystal. There should be, yes. You will see there is some connection. The difference is in pneumatic liquid crystals, the up and down direction or left and right directions are symmetric, and here there is asymmetry.
Cholesteric,
yes. But this, another difference is this kind of extra liquid crystals. They do things. And these objects are not stationary. Actually, they move around and they coalesce, and you will see I have to move it. And for a different type of molecular motor, which is for briefness is called NCD and has a very long name, which I think is not important for my talk, and the difference, it has a little bit different property. And also it works in opposite direction on microtubule, but it's not a big issue, but it has a little bit different property. What they saw, that vortices do not develop. So there is a direct transition to clusters, no matter how they vary concentration. And also they performed experiment for the mixture of two molecular motors, and they observed even more remarkable patterns. Now let me illustrate the time evolution of this structure. So these are two movies I borrowed from the website of this group. And you can see formation of asters and kinesin. So things start to evolve, and then you see asters, and these asters move, they coalesce. And eventually bigger and bigger asters appear. What is interesting, you can see kind of domain boundaries between asters, maybe not, because they have the same orientation, they could be, there are assets with opposite orientation do not exist. You always have topological defect of one patch in this situation.
How long are the microtubules?
5 microns. It's a fairly big object. It's about 100 microns size of this object.
Oh, okay.
How many microtubules are elastic?
No, I don't remember. It's like a lot. It's rather big objects. So you can
saturate, basically takes all the material.
Eventually, yes. I don't know if it takes all the material. If you read the paper, they say that the objects are stationary on the time scale of 1 hour, whatever it means. They deplete material, of course. They deplete ATP and they deplete molecular motor, so it definitely slows down. But if it really goes to one aspect, it's hard to say. And for a different type of the motor, as NCD, you see kind of similar effect, but maybe a little bit smaller scale. But phenomena is highly dynamic, as you can see. It's not stationary. It doesn't apparently evolve for some steady state configuration. And for low concentration of the motors, you can see vortices, and here's illustration of the vortex. You can see this. And I think okay. Now let me summarize experimental observations. And two-dimensional mixture of molecular motors and microtubules exhibit pattern formation. In kinesin, vortices are formed for low density of molecular motors and astrids are formed for higher density. And in NCD, only astrids are observed for all density of molecular motors. And for very high density of molecular motors, astrids and vortices disappear and that bundles of oriented microtubules are formed. And according to experimentalists, the primary mechanism for formation of these structures is interaction, of course, between molecular motors and microtubules. And when molecular motor, which is shown here by this object, interacts with one microtubule, basically nothing happens, because the mass of the motors is about 1,000 times smaller than the mass of the very long tubular, and there is no significant displacement of the microtubule. So this motor diffuses, when it attaches to the microtubule, it walks in certain direction, then it touches and lifts it, and basically no displacement occurs. But if motor attaches simultaneously to two microtubules, there is very strong realignment effect. As you can see here, if motors walks along two microtubules at once and rearrange them. And basically this mechanism, according to experimentalists, is responsible for formation of all this letter of interesting structures.
So is it true that only two-headed motors do it?
Yes, only one-headed motor won't do it.
So you think that the myosin travels on the outside of the microtubule, or on the inside?
It's kinesin.
It's kinesin?
Kinesin, yes, outside.
It's outside?
Yes.
And in a living cell, how this microtubule is built in?
How they built in?
Yes, because, I mean, outside there is something else.
No, this microtubule is assembled from tubulin diamonds.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so far I thought that the molecules travel inside, because inside there is space, there's nothing except perhaps water. Mm-hmm. But outside, they live something in a cell. Yeah?
Well, they travel inside. If they travel outside, if they travel inside, they can't interact with the second one, obviously. Yes,
this was my question.
No, they travel outside. Mm-hmm. Inside is a very small hole, they can't get in.
If you can get bundles of microtubules, and then things can go down the middle of the bundle.
Yeah, that's
different. You get a nice picture, but I wonder whether, quantitatively it may work. I mean, do you have enough force to really bring them down? Because it seems, well, naively, that if you estimate the force needed for this, it is well above the stall force.
No, it's enough force.
It's
sufficient force. As approximation here is, there are certain biological issues. With one motor, you don't really reorient them like that. Mm-hmm. So you just change angle a little bit. But if you have multiple motors coming in and then eventually you...
Oh, so what happens is it moves a little bit and then just departs or what? Because
yeah, but then other motor comes in. Okay, and in the case of the two microtubules, you have kind of a zipper effect. So it attaches to two ends and sweeps along and zips them, they become more parallel.
Okay.
And of course, if there is an experiment, it should be theory, and usually there is more than one. Okay, I refer to three different approaches to this problem. First approach was proposed by Lee and Kager, and basically it's purely phenomenological. They just proposed a system of a couple of coupled equations, one for the density of molecular motors and other for orientation of microtubules. And they were able to reproduce certain patterns in this system, but the results were kind of opposite what observed in experiment. According to their theory, vortices appear for high density of motors and assets for low density. And totally different approach was proposed by this group, Kruse, Johnny, Julius Reprost, and Sekimoto. And they started from very general expression for viscoelastic active gel. Basically, generalized expression which they used for pneumatic lipid crystals, they add few more things. And they claim that this system, which is extremely complicated, has solution in form of asters and vortices. But it's very hard to really establish dynamic transitions. And very interesting approach was proposed recently by Liverpool and Marchesi. And they started from microscopic interaction rules between microtubules. And they were able to derive a system for density of microtubules and orientation of microtubules. But their result is kind of opposite to what observed in experiment. In fact, what they received was the following, that if you prepare oriented state of microtubules and add motors, motors will disorient them completely. And the only instability they encountered was density instability, which I don't think is the right thing which happens there.
So it's, if you have density instability, you don't know what happens next. Yes. You just see the ones, but you do have the density instability.
What their system shows that oriented state, if you prepare oriented state of microtubules,
And uniform,
it will be always unstable.
That's my point. I mean, you just don't know.
No, but
maybe after you get the density instability, you might get
I don't think so. Then you will never obtain large-scale patterns with this kind of mechanism, because oriented state will always decay. According to this, oriented state always decays.
Oriented from
beautiful. Doesn't matter.
I don't really defend the way, but I'm just saying that
then it's
not sufficient to rule down.
Maybe not sufficient to rule down, but it leads to very serious difficulties. At least you shouldn't expect large-scale patterns, like you see in experiment, when this orientation observed on large scale. Because it's, according to their theory, it's totally unstable. It's like superconductivity above critical point, something like that. Okay, so this motivated us to look at this problem, and before going to these biological issues, I would like to remind you the celebrated Maxwell model for inelastically interacting particles. This model is extreme. In this community, probably everyone knows this, and it's very simple. So we have two particles, say, of equal mass, and say they collide. After the collision, their velocity becomes more parallel. That's obvious. And in one dimension, so we can write this transform matrix. It's velocity after the collision and velocity before the collision. They connected according to this expression. And gamma characterizes the elasticity of collisions. And for gamma equals 1/2, collisions are totally inelastic. And all energy is lost, and momentum is conserved. And after the interaction, particles just travel together with mean velocity. Okay, and in one dimension, assuming binary collision between particles, and also assuming that there is no spatial dependence, and more importantly, the collision rate doesn't depend on relative velocity, which is, of course, a very large approximation for granular physics, after actually trivial to write down the master equation for the probability distribution function P, which describes the probability to find particle with velocity V. So it's a rather simple equation. It has, okay, the standard derivative of probability equals to diffusion term, which describes a coupling to thermal mass, some diffusion coefficient d, and plus this integral, which is because of collisions are binary and uncorrelated, we have product of two probabilities, and we have two delta function terms. Basically, one term here describes annihilation of particles with velocity, say, v1, and the other term describes creation of particles with velocity v1 plus v2 over half. Okay, this is rather trivial, and this system is beaten to death, most recently by Eli Ben Naim and Paul Krapivsky. And of course, it's a very, actually, quite bad model for realistic ground materials, but it's very popular in the mathematical community because it admits exact solution in certain cases.
Tell something more about the diffusion velocities, please.
It's basically it's due to coupling, to say, in ground physics, it's not really important term. But here we add coupling to thermal bus. So we assume that there are thermal fluctuations which act on particles.
Because the greater concentration diffusion term is the spatial derivative that comes in usually.
This is describes the following effect. So if you have thermal fluctuation, we don't talk about spatial difference. This term will describe the gradient of the probability distribution function.
In the velocity
coordinate. In the velocity coordinate. We deal only with the velocities. I will come later to coordinates.
And there's no defense of the constant kernel G. It's just a convenient.
It's convenient, yes. Absolutely no reason for this, yes. Approximation.
Well, there's every reason to write something different down.
Yeah, but this is a model, Maxwell model. And
but do you require a stick calculation? Is your picture shown?
Not, they don't stick, they lose energy, but we have also diffusion which takes them away. That's, and of course, for granular materials, this term is quite unrealistic. For microtubules, it's realistic because they swim in solvent and they interact with solvent, there is boiling motion. So basically,
that's spatial, not velocity.
Excuse me?
That's spatial, not in velocity space.
Also in velocity space.
Mm-hmm. That relaxes so fast that they're important for microtubules.
For microtubules, it's let me come to it. Okay. It's, of course, it's, for microtubules, it's not in velocity space. It's right. It's,
okay.
This is for granular particles. Okay, so this basically is a nice toy model. And solution can be obtained analytically. And if we, for simplicity, we consider only case of fully inelastic collisions, which correspond to gamma 1/2. And this system is very simple. And we can find a symplectic probability distribution, which is localized, but not Gaussian, as it has exponential tails. And there are no phase transitions in this system. So all the parameters, like diffusion coefficient and the collision rate, can be scaled out. And that's about it. Now let me come to back to microtubules. So what I said to you before, that due to interaction with molecular motors, which sweep along, microtubules become realigned. And as you can see, this interaction between two microtubules and one molecular motor is an elastic collision, because before the collision they have angles phi 1 and phi 2, after the collision they have different angles which are more aligned. So in extreme case, when they just realign, you have fully inelastic collision but in an angular space.
I do not see perfectly your analogy, because in the left picture there are two microtubules at rest, and the right hand picture there are also two microtubules at rest. There's no velocity.
There will be no velocity. I will switch gears, and I'm talking about microtubules. The role of velocity for microtubules is played by the angle. We have an elastic collision, but in the angular space. We can forget about velocity.
You don't have any time dependence. I mean, if you leave it to the left hand picture in peace, they will not appear to have the same angle as now.
But if they interact with the motor, they will realign them. The motors diffuse, and sometimes they attach to microtubules and realign them. You have certain probability for realignment, like collisions. It's what I don't. What is the point?
Just take it as a model.
Are you going to only worry about angles? How about sort of translational degree of?
I will worry about this a little bit later. First, I worry about angles. What my statement is that if you have a gas of microtubules and interacting with the motors, sometimes they collide, and as a result of collision, the angles become more parallel. This is what I would like to say. And there is a certain analogy between granular media and microtubules, because in granular media, velocity become more parallel. In this case, angles become more parallel.
I'm sorry, I just have some intuitive problem. Esters are not obviously aligned, they're not bundles, right? So if anything is aligned there, it's the end points, right? So all that happens is the motor walks over to the end of the tube, stops there, waits till the
There are two effects. You're right.
You basically end up with a bunch of misaligned tubules grabbed at the end.
In fact, you're right. There are two effects. Motors stick to the end of microtubules, and also they realign their centers of mass. And they also change their orientation.
I guess I don't understand where orientation order is. Because they exert some torque
on the microtubules. When they walk, they exert this motor like a spring. And both heads, they move the certain velocity on the microtubules and they exert some torque. And this torque will change the orientation. And second effect, the motor also stick at the end and they also realign the centers of mass. There are both effects. And different motors, they have different material properties. If I have time, I will discuss this a little bit later.
I guess I'm also a bit uncomfortable with the model because it's not clear how to incorporate multi-particle effects. In collision, it's trivial. It's very short period of time it takes to collide with particles, but this is not really that short period of time. And over that period of time, it's quite possible that this particular microtubule also interacts with another one.
Okay, so you need to make some approximation. One of the approximation is that you have dilute gas of microtubules, and a large enough concentration of motors. So this triple collisions are less probable than binary collisions. It's like in kinetic theory, it is standard approximation.
Let's see where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So now if we play the same game with maximum model, assuming that due to interaction microtubules rearrange. Then we can, and because this is a one-dimensional model, we can apply the same ideas as in Maxwell model. Basically, we can write the same equation of probability to find a microtubule with orientation angle phi. Okay, in this case, the role of diffusion will be played by the rotational diffusion. Of course, not diffusion in the velocity space, but diffusion in angular space, which is well defined and due to coupling to thermal fluctuations. And the collision integral will be exactly the same as for Maxwell model. This collision rate will be proportional to the concentration of molecular motors, obviously. And there is only one small difference, which we don't have in Maxwell model. The angle is 2 pi periodic. Velocity is unbounded. It's defined from minus infinity to plus infinity. Angle is 2 pi periodic. So the limits of integration in this integral should be from minus pi to plus pi. And it's the only difference with Maxwell model. But it goes a very long way. Because interval of integration is finite, we can't scale anymore the variables, the parameters of the model, the diffusion coefficients and the collision rate, because they will change the limits of integration. And as a result of this very small difference, we have new effects, and rather dramatic ones. Namely, in contrast to the Maxwell model, if we will increase the collision rate, which is proportional to the concentration of micro motors, there is a phase transition. And phase transition from isotropic phase to oriented phase, which we don't have in Maxwell model. Let me show you in more detail. So, because our limits of integration are finite, we have new solution to Maxwell equation, which is basically a solution with no orientation. The probability to find a particle with orientation phi is constant, it's 1 over 2 pi. There is no such equivalent of this solution for Maxwell model. And we can examine this solution with respect to perturbations, and we find that there is instability above critical density. So if you increase density above critical, this disoriented state, isotropic phase, becomes unstable, and some oriented phase appears. And there is critical density. Okay, let's call it someone. Okay, we can do even better work. So we can introduce macroscopic variables like coarse-grained density of microtubules and coarse-grained orientation of microtubules using this probability function, and to derive equation for coarse-grained variables. So basically, okay, there is another variable, orientation is, okay, this average of cosine and sine, and it's convenient to introduce complex orientation is tau x plus I tau y, which is first harmonic of the Fourier. First harmonic of the probability distribution function. Okay, and basically all these macroscopic variables can be connected to zero density is basically zero harmonic of the probability distribution function, and complex orientation is the minus first one. And if you plug these ansatz into a master equation, this maximum model, we obtain a rather complicated set of infinite set of ordinary differential equations, but fortunately it can be truncated at the second moment because all high moments decay except the first two ones near the stability threshold, and after rather simple algebra we obtain two equations, so one equation for the density and the other equation for the orientation.
Sure.
And as you can see, so
how comes any equation is derived by turns into this?
Excuse me, I didn't
understand. Well, it again looks like Landau-Ginzburg.
Yes, it is Landau-Ginzburg equation. Yes, exactly. So our surprise. I should say this was not our intention. We didn't expect to do that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, the first equation is rather trivial. Basically, density is conserved. It's things don't disappear. The density is conserved. And the second equation is interesting. So the first equation, this is orientation equation. The first term describes instability, and if density rho is above some critical density, we have exponential growth of orientation. And there is saturation term. And of course, it describes the second order phase transition. So in this system, above some critical density, we have a second order phase transition, and this microtubules want to develop spontaneous orientation due to interaction with molecular motors. Okay, this is typical picture of Landau-Ginzburg model for phase transition. Below critical density we have a stable point, zero orientation. Above critical density we have a circle of stable points. Basically, orientation depends on initial conditions, but the absolute value of orientation vector does not depend on initial conditions. It's like in ferromagnetism. And we can compare our analytical result with numerics for maximum model and what you find. So in above critical density, you start to obtain anisotropic probability distribution functions, and they become more and more narrow if you increase the density, and eventually for very high density, there is no difference between maximum model and this model. And if you extract from this probability distribution function the average orientation and compare with our analytical results, you can see that actually the difference is very, very small. It's really rigorous results for this equation. So we can derive this coarse-grained equation pretty rigorously. This is systematic bifurcation analysis and wouldn't be too surprising. But now, of course, this is very nice, but what is about this, all these structures? What about interaction? And now we have to introduce all these features. And there are two effects. Of course, if we start to worry about interaction in space, we have to include translational diffusion of microtubules, and we also have to include the following effect, that interaction really depends on the distance and orientation, and which makes things much more complicated. Okay, so in this case, we will have probability distribution function, which depends on the angle and the position. And to this maximum model, we have to add the matrix of translational diffusions, which is not such a big issue, and we also have to include into the collision integral localized kernel.
So this is a position, this is distance between microtubules?
Yes, microtubules.
And the relative angle?
Relative angle. Oh, no, sorry, not distance of microtubules, the position of microtubules. It's, the kernel depends only on the distance. It's the position. It's the position of microtubules, the angle, and we also have to modify the collision integral. And for the translational diffusion matrix, it's not such a big deal because in polymer physics is well known. So in polymer physics, you can actually open a book and find out that the diffusion along a slender object and perpendicular to a slender object, they are different by the factor of two. And there are explicit expressions in terms of temperature, viscosity, and aspect ratio. So we can.
How about translation due to the motor action? Well, the motor obviously translates
into
tubules, so you don't seem to.
We neglect that.
Oh.
The mass of motor is so small compared to the.
No. It's not
about
mass. One tube with respect to another tends to move.
No, but center of mass doesn't displace.
Yeah,
But if they're anti-aligned, then they get pushed down.
But the center of mass does not destroy.
Oh.
Unless you don't, okay, this is a very interesting question. Of course, it's true if you don't include interaction with solder.
Yes.
Then it becomes much more complicated. I don't think it's dominant effect. There is maybe a little bit of displacement, but it's not such a big issue, I believe, because this velocity of the motors are very, very low.
But wait, obviously this kinesthetic is a powerful object.
Yes.
It is able to orientate the macromolecules.
Yes.
Why shouldn't it be able to shift the macromolecules?
They shift, yes, they shift, but the center of mass of 2 doesn't shift. This is the first approximation.
Okay, wait a moment. Even if the center of mass of the two doesn't shift, it may result in very dramatic effects, like density instabilities, right? So if I'm just...
I'll come to it, yes. Okay. There is density instability, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, also, these diffusivities, these are rather largish objects, so you're saying the thermal diffusivity is actually important as opposed to all the random effects of motors running around them.
That's a good question. It's a rather big object, of course. Thermal diffusivity is still important, but it is additional effect due to collision with the motors. It's probably
that's the dominant effect. But then the density dependence becomes interesting, right?
It becomes.
It's the diffusivity that becomes motor density dependent,
yes,
rather than anything else.
Yes, of course, there are many other effects, by the way, related to the motors. I come to it later. In the first approximation, we assume that the diffusion of the motors is so large, which is indeed about 3 orders larger than the diffusion of the microtubules. In the first approximation, you can assume that the density of the motor is almost uniform. There are, of course, some effects related to that.
Right, but the question is, what is the effect of motors on random motion?
There is no good evidence. There are some expectations that it will effectively increase diffusion of the microtubules.
Precisely.
Yes, but there is no, it's not totally unexpected, of course. It's probably even larger than thermal diffusion, but it looks like it works in the same direction. It's actually a normalized diffusion constant. Okay, now the most important part here is interaction between microtubules. Of course, if these objects, basically, they have only contact interaction. If they're far away, they do not interact. They interact only when they overlap. Because in this case, because motor is so small, they can sit only attached to 2 microtubules when they overlap. So we have to introduce interaction kernel, which cuts off interaction if the distance between microtubules is larger than, say, their half lengths. And in the simplest way, you can introduce a Gaussian function like that, where he is distance between 2 microtubules, and B is a constant, which is, say, about 1/2 of the length of microtubules. But this is not enough. There is additional effect, basically related to the fact that the microtubules are polar objects, and the interaction also depends on their orientation. And then the first approximation, actually, I don't have time to talk about, you can calculate actually this term. You have the anisotropy of kernel, basically, just to give you an idea that these two configurations are not symmetric because these are polar objects. The microtubules which look this way and this way, they are not the same from the point of view of the motors. Because in this situation, motors can attach to the end of the microtubules and walk along and rearrange. In this situation, it attaches to the end and just more or less stuck here. So in order to introduce this effect, you have to make the kernel anisotropic, which depends on the position and the angle. And the simplest term which accounts for anisotropy of the kernel is this one. So it's symmetric with respect to permutation of the indices, and actually is not symmetric with respect to, okay, up and, let's say, left and right symmetry.
In principle, you could tune out these by mixing 2 different types of motors which go opposite.
Yes, yes. And basically, this constant beta characterizes the type of the motor. And just expecting questions, I can say that for kinesin, we calculated this constant. You can actually calculate it for microscopic model. And this constant appears to be very small. And for other type of the motor, which is different from kinesin by the fact that it spends much more time at the end of microtubules, it's a relatively large one. But this basically is a material constant. Okay, so if basically now the collision integral now takes a little bit more complicated form, you have to include this kernel. And if you do all these calculations, which are pretty heavy, and we did it independently with Lev, using, I used mathematics and he used maple, and we converged to the same expressions. Which are rather remarkable. You can see them here. I like these equations. They're pretty long, and they also have structure of Gibbs-Strang equations, but I can share my patient with. Okay, so basically we have two equations. One equation for the density, and other equation for the orientation, for local density and local orientation. And the equation for the density basically is some kind of divergence of some flux. And the simplest term, which would expect rho times tau, which would correspond like the propulsion of microtubules in the direction of orientation, is prohibited by the basically the fact that mass doesn't displace, and as we discussed, if you neglect interaction with solvent, this term is prohibited by the, roughly speaking, by the momentum conservation. Okay, so instead of you have this little bit more complicated term. And there is a equation for the orientation. These terms we inherited from the maximum model. Now we have a bunch of diffusion terms also, which we obtained from the fact we have translational diffusion. And this additional term, which comes from the anisotropy of the kernel. This constant H is basically normalized kernel anisotropy. And two important parameters in this model are this H, this normalized anisotropy of the kernel. Another parameter is the normalized Markov length, which is basically a constant of the order 1. Another parameter is basically the density of microtubules. Okay, so we have these two remarkable equations. Of course, it's painful to solve them, but there is one approximation. Basically, this constant is numerically very small. And the first approximation, you can believe me, you can neglect density equation. The density equation becomes more or less enslaved. So this microtubules really end, while density almost doesn't change. Then we can neglect this equation, and we can do only this one equation like that, which is quite interesting. Okay, if we drop this color term, this blue term, and the red term, everyone recognizes Ginzburg-Lambda equation for superconductors, which has solution in the form of abricots of vortices. The origin of blue term here is from the fact that the diffusion along the microtubules and perpendicular to microtubules is not the same. It's related to the anisotropy of the diffusion. And this term is related to the anisotropy of the kernel, anisotropy of the interaction. So without these two terms, we have Ginzburg-Lambda equation, and this equation has a vortex solution. So it can be written in this general form, the function of radius times I theta polar angle plus some arbitrary constant phi, which in this language describes the tilt angle of the microtubules with respect to radius. And in Ginzburg-Lambda theory, this can be any number, an arbitrary parameter, makes no meaning. Now, if we add these two terms, we break the symmetry and we take off this degeneracy of the orientation angle. Without red term, if we only include anisotropy of the diffusion, what we obtain that the only solution which survives is a vortex with the phi equals plus minus pi over 2. So actually, this is we did it some time ago with left symmetry in the context of vibrated rods. And you can prove that solution with vortex solutions, they have low effective energy. So if you drop red terms and include only, drop blue terms and include only anisotropy of the kernel, or when kernel is anisotropy of the kernel is dominant, you obtain that the only solution which survives is the aster. This phase or angle with respect to the center radius vector is zero. And if you have both of them present, then you can expect some kind of phase transition when you gradually change all this. Okay, we did pretty heavy calculations and calculated the phase diagram. Here is the density of, say, molecular motors. And here is the anisotropy of the kernel. And what we obtain that, because there is critical density, and below critical density, everything is disoriented. And above critical density, you have orientation transition. And for low value of the anisotropy parameter, H, you have transition to vortices, and then with increase of the density, you have transition to astens. And then for very high density, you have density instability and formation of bundles. For high anisotropy of the kernel, you have direct transition to astens. does no vortex space. And there is like critical point of when you take like vortex analysis. And if you compare it with experimental data, as I mentioned, you calculate this effective anisotropy parameter for kinesin and for this second type of the motor, kinesin appears to be somewhere here, and this MCG, other type of the motor, somewhere here. So at least in this sense, it's consistent.
Igor, I know you have a lattice point, and possibly an unfair question, but it seemed to me, just looking at the experiments, that there are forbidden regions. You know, when you look at the asters, they seem to have, you know, sort of directions with forbidden regions behind them, whereas your asters seem to have
These forbidden regions, as far as I remember, exist only if you have mixture of two motors.
I see. Otherwise, you have continuity.
Yes.
I see.
Okay, if you summarize the phase diagram, what we obtain is that asters are stable for large density of molecular motors, vortices stable for low density of the motors, and no stable vortices exist for anisotropy larger than critical anisotropy. And this appears to be consistent with experimental observations. Of course, we can solve equations numerically, and if we start from initial conditions, for low anisotropy, you can see formation of lattice of vortices. And for high anisotropy, you can see formation of the lattice of asters. And these objects are also pretty dynamic as an experiment. I have animations, and you can see here in this at the back. Okay, this, I see it on my screen. I don't know what happens. It consists of spontaneous formation of asters, and eventually this lattice of asters coarsens, and you have bigger and bigger asters. And of course, you can do a little bit better than that. And answering your question, you, in fact, when you have asters, this molecular motor start to move towards the center of the aster, and they accumulate there because they advert it to the center and they diffuse out. So in fact, you have increase of the density. And of course, this also affects some property. And this can be addressed. So in this case, you have to add additional equation for the concentration of molecular motors. And this, of course, you have two terms. So one term is like diffusion of the motors, which is a dominant it's very high, and advection term. And this you have to couple back to the system what we have. And I don't have picture here, but I did analysis and did also simulations and basically obtained something called similar. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect the phase diagram. It's important quantitative effect, but appears to be qualitatively doesn't affect the picture.
Right. Except for I think you will get asters this way even without orientational ordering.
What do you mean without? No, asters always have orientational ordering. They always direct it this way.
Yeah, but right, you have this ordered phase, right?
Yes.
And you have so now go below the ordered phase, right? You have disoriented phase, right? And include this density instability in the motors.
This
and
is,
I would
I don't
suspect
this,
that you'd still get.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so because if you have no preferred orientation, there will be no preferred diffusion also, no preferred advection of the motors.
Well, depends on your other equations.
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
But they'll all go to the end of a stick and stay there.
But if they reoriented, they will attach to the opposite sticks. It may happen something else. I don't know. Yes, I didn't look. What happened below the orientational stability.
Right. But then it's just a matter of whether these two sticks will end up on one side of your aster or on the opposite side of your aster.
It might be some, I don't know.
So maybe I can ask the question. I don't think you ever showed either experimental picture of bundles or your predicted bundle state. As a result, I don't quite understand. You said that bundles are formed where you get the density instability?
No, bundles are formed for very high density of the motors.
But in your phase diagram, there was some
yes,
green
also,
dotted line
yes.
saying that there is a density instability.
Yes, there is a density instability.
Can you elaborate a little bit
yes,
on
yes,
what happens
yes.
out there?
Yes, sure, yes. If you do, okay, it's a little bit complicated, but what you can see that there is a term here which changes the sign, like you obtain negative diffusion for very high density. And this possibly related to formation of bundles. I can't say for sure, but at least we have some kind of indication that for high density we have additional instability. But it actually happens after, at least for parameters which you work, it happens after orientation stability. Maybe in certain situations you may have it before. It's, I don't think there is strong evidence for that.
Yeah. I guess looking at the pictures from Leibler's lab, it certainly doesn't look like density is uniform there.
Density is not uniform.
Low density. So one of those motors you showed that there are rather isolated asters. And
this is getting into just binary conversation.
Okay, but let me say something about this. What you see in these pictures, you see back dark field microscopy, which actually increases contrast. In fact, it's maybe not zero density there. It's just effect of processing. It's dark field, you know. It's not what you... Because as I understand, the contrast takes back. So probably density variations are not very high. Okay, now almost in conclusion, I would like to show you two more examples. Okay, this let me just short conclusion that we derived equation from microscopic model that obtained reasonable agreement with experiment, and there are possible applications for biological and non-biological systems like formation of biofilm formation by bacteria and organization of self-propelled particles. And I would like to bring to your attention another experiment, which probably was already discussed by Asha Kudrolia. I think everybody knows this experiment with vibrating rods. And it's groundwell system, of course. And in this experiment, when you vibrate long particles, at some critical acceleration, they start to stand up. And when they collide with the bottom, they are launched at some angle and land in different positions. They become self-propelled. And in this situation, you have formation of vortices. Okay, so something wrong. Okay, let me try. That's bad. Should work. Well, it seems to be doesn't work with this. I have it on my computer, I can show you. So basically you have formation of large vortices in this system and consecutive coursing of vortices. And a couple of years ago with Lev Simenko we proposed fully phenomenological model for this phenomena, which surprisingly is very similar which we were able to derive from for the microtubular system. Basically you again see this the same system of equation, one equation for the density and other equation for the orientation. And this additional term here, which basically is absent in this case of microtubules because you have self-propulsion of the particle. This is coupling between basically this rods moving in the direction of the tube with the velocity proportional to the tube, and which we don't have in that situation. But nevertheless, system shows very similar behavior. And I don't know how the movie will work here. It's bizarre. And another example, actually related to bacteria. You know, there are bacteria which swim very fast, and one of the examples are swimming bacillus cyclus bacteria. And also they are kind of rod-shaped particles, and they have length about 5 micron, and they speed almost 20 micron per second. They are very good swimmers. And when they swim, it's used this bacteria, they may develop collective flows which are as fast as 100 micron per second. And motivated by our theory, we decided to test new system, and we actually made experiment upon them in collaboration with Eric Goldstein from the University of Arizona. And we were able to create a monolayer of bacteria, really thin monolayer of bacteria, which is actually pretty hard. And to our surprise, this is a bacteria. I don't know if you see the movie, that I can promise you. You see something very similar, which you see with vibrating particles. You see also formation of vortices, and let's see. Yes, here it works. Yes, this is a monolayer of bacteria, which we...
I don't see it, it's a
Yeah, you can repeat, yes. It's a very short movie. I play swim very long time. Actually, the reason for this kind of pattern formation is related to the fact that when bacteria swim, they also stir fluid. And there is also collective interaction between bacteria and the fluid. When bacteria collide, so when actually they also become more parallel, and they swim together for some time. We can also see that.
What exactly do you call pattern here?
It's turbulent pattern. Pattern of the velocity of the like, patterns are different. But this kind of also contact interaction between bacteria, and this you can actually see, I don't have the movie, but if you have the loop gas of bacteria, when they swim together, they collide, they rear and they swim together for some time because of attractive dipole interaction, hydrodynamic dipole interaction. We model this system by rather similar equations, which I mentioned, by equation of orientation, but in this case you have to also add equation for the hydrodynamic velocity. And we were able to at least qualitatively reproduce this phenomenon. So this you can see, arrows show the flow velocity. And you can see this rather turbulent velocity patterns which are developed in this system.
Do you know what the spectrum is?
I don't think it's anything to do with Kolmogorov spectrum. It's highly dissipative system.
I don't expect it to be.
I already both been trying to extract it, but I don't think it will be any power law. I think it's pretty much, you have characteristic scaling.
That is not interesting, right?
No, I think in this system it's very different from the hydrodynamic turbulence because it has a well-defined scale.
That's exactly my question. I mean, do you have?
Yes, it does, yes.
Okay, and how large is the scale?
It's tunable. It's tunable. It depends on the density of the bacteria. This you can tune. And tuning the density, you can change the scale.
In which range? Like 10 bacteria size?
It can be, okay, this if you, actually it can be relatively large, yes. If you increase density, this seems to be the scale diverges.
Isn't it just liquid crystalline?
It's not, because there is a direction. It's not a pneumatic liquid crystal, at least. It's self-propelled cholesteric liquid crystal, at least.
Well, okay.
That's the direction. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.